إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So today, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to discuss a chapter regarding contentness and happiness of the heart in this world and in the hereafter, and what are the means to achieving this happiness, and what has been mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah regarding having the peace and the tranquility in the hearts. So to begin with, we'll mention what Al-Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned. He said the greatest and most fundamental means of achieving a good life, the greatest and fundamental means of achieving a good life is iman, certain belief, iman and good deeds. For the one who desires a good life, the one who desires peace and tranquility and ease, then from the means to achieving that, or from the fundamental means to achieving that, is iman and good deeds. That is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِّنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَىٰ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. That whomsoever works righteousness, whomsoever does the righteous actions, whether it's male or female, the man or the woman, whomsoever does the righteous actions, وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ, and he is a believer, then verily to him or her we will give a life that is good and pure. We will give them a life that is good and pure. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and we will give them their reward in accordance to the best of their actions. We will give them their reward in accordance to the best of their actions. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the one who will be given the good and pure life is the one who does the righteous actions and is a believer. مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا, whomsoever does the righteousness, مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَىٰ, whether it's the male or the female, a man or a woman, whomsoever does the righteousness and he is a believer, then to him we will give the good and pure life, and to him we will bestow the reward in accordance to the best of their actions. So the Shaykh says, Al-Shaykh Al-Allama Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, so Allah the Most High informs and promises whoever joins true belief with good and righteous deeds that he will give him a good and pure life in this world and a good reward in this world and in the hereafter. That Allah will give them a pure life in this world and a good reward in this world and in the hereafter. The reason behind this is very clear. This is because true believers in Allah who have a sound belief that then gives rise to righteous deeds. Their sound belief, their iman, that is the basis upon which their righteous deeds occur thereafter. And their heart is correct, or their heart is corrected and mends their hearts and corrects the human behavior and makes good both this world and the hereafter. People of this nature who correct their hearts, correct their behavior, make good in this world, then such a people have the basic elements that guide them in dealing with situations of happiness and joy. And similarly, to be patient and to deal with situations of anxiety, sorrow, and grief. So they gratefully accept situations of happiness and joy and are thankful to Allah and use them in what is beneficial, i.e. those blessings and those situations of happiness and joy, what has come to them, they use them in the obedience and worship to Allah. So when they use them in this manner, they use their blessings in the obedience to Allah, they experience additional joy, and they desire the blessings of these things and hope that they remain with them, and also yearn for the good reward of those who are thankful to Allah. This feeling and experience brings with it so much good and blessings far greater than the joy that is the primary cause of it. So here the Shaykh, he says, that the one who is upon iman, and the one who does the righteous actions, and corrects his behavior, mends his heart, and makes his worldly affairs upright and good, then they are the basic elements, the basic building blocks, for that person to have the happiness of this world and the hereafter. And because those people, when they get the blessings of Allah, when they achieve, or they receive rather, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they use those blessings in the obedience of Allah, as opposed to using those blessings to sin or disobey. Some people, they are given certain blessings, and they use those blessings to disobey Allah. Like the one who is given plentiful wealth, and he uses that wealth in haram, then he is using this blessing in the disobedience to Allah. But the other one uses that blessing to obey Allah. He is given the blessing of plentiful wealth, so he uses that in the path of Allah, in the building of masajid and schools, etc., for the spreading of this religion. So he's using his blessings in the obedience to Allah. And when a person does that, the Shaykh says, he will feel an even greater amount of joy. The initial joy that he has is, in this example, the wealth. That Allah gave him that wealth. Allah gave him that luxury, that money, that wealth, that possession. That is a blessing from Allah upon him, so he feels joy for that blessing. But when he uses that blessing thereafter to obey Allah with, he's been blessed with money, so he uses that money to give in charity and to spend in the way of Allah. That then brings him an additional joy on top of the initial joy. The initial joy and happiness that Allah blessed him with wealth, but then he uses that in the obedience of Allah, and this brings about an additional joy on top of the initial joy. Whereas a person who does not use the blessings of Allah in obedience to Allah, and instead uses them to disobey Allah, then that is the type of person who will not experience the joy or the happiness or the contentment in his heart. And that is why there is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the affair of a believer. The affair of a believer. That a believer is always in a state of contentment. A believer is always in a state of peace and tranquility in of himself, even at the times of difficulty. How is that? As it is mentioned in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. The Prophet ﷺ said, the affair of the believer is really wonderful. Amazing is the affair of the believer. Amazing is the affair of the believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. All of his affairs are good. Amazing. How amazing is the affair of the believer. All of his affairs are good. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّا شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ ضَرَّا صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. That when he is afflicted by some goodness, he's afflicted by some goodness, something good occurs to him, something of affluence occurs to him, something of benefit to himself and goodness to himself occurs to him, then he is grateful to Allah for that. That is goodness for him. And when something evil may occur, something bad may occur, something which he did not desire, some suffering, some hardship, some burden, then that is still good for him, because he is patient in those times and he is rewarded for that. And this is something the Prophet ﷺ said, which only occurs for the believer. Because when the believer is in a state of happiness and goodness, then he thanks Allah for that. And when a believer is in a state of burden or difficulty or hardship, he remains patient and makes dua to Allah, and that's good for him too. So he is content at all times, even in the times of difficulty. Being patient raises his rank and raises his status for being patient at that time of difficulty. So in this way, the affair of the believer is good for him in all circumstances. Whether it's some blessing that he's been given and he thanks Allah for that, and he praises Allah for that, and he uses it in the obedience to Allah, and then has additional joy on top of the original joy. Or if he's in some difficulty or hardship or burden, then he is patient during those times, and he makes dua to Allah seeking an escape from that, and that patience raises his rank, raises his status, and that is good for him again. Here we'll mention something that Al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned. Three means to happiness. Three means or three ways to happiness. The first of these ways, the first of these means, the Shaykh he mentioned, it is that if you are given something, if you are blessed with something, إِذَا أُعْطِيَ شَكَرًا, that when you are blessed with something, then you thank Allah for it. You show your gratitude to Allah for the blessing that you've been given. You thank Allah for the blessing that you've been given. إِذَا أُعْطِيَ شَكَرًا. And this is from the characteristics of the believers, that they associate the blessings they've been given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they demonstrate their gratitude and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those blessings that they've been given. In opposition to those, contrary to those who are given blessings and they reject the blessings, meaning that they do not thank Allah for those blessings, they do not show their gratitude to Allah for those blessings, and by not doing that, it is as if they are not therefore attributing those blessings to Allah. We know that the blessings of Allah are a great number, so great that you cannot enumerate them. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you try to count the number of blessings of Allah upon you, you would not be able to do so. Such are the great numbers of blessings upon a person. But when a person is given the blessings he is given, then he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shows his gratitude to Allah. And that is done in various ways. One is to actually accept and understand and have the belief that this is a bestow, or this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. Knowing that this is from Allah upon you, not from your own skill, from your own expertise, from your own professionalism that has brought you this blessing, that has brought you this wealth, that has brought you these high wages. It is not your own doing. So you recognize that it is a blessing from Allah, that you've been given this particular blessing, whatever it may be. So you have that correct aqidah in your heart. That is part of the demonstration of gratitude and thankfulness to Allah, to actually attribute that blessing to Allah. Then secondly, it is mentioned to speak well, or to speak of those blessings that Allah has given you, then that is something good, to speak of the blessings of Allah upon you. And thirdly, to use those blessings in the obedience of Allah. to use the blessings you've been given to obey Allah further. So if it is wealth, you use that and spend it in charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is some other blessing you've been given, then use that skill, use that blessing in some way of aiding al-Islam and the believers. So that is the first sign of happiness. The first characteristic that a person requires if he desires a peaceful heart, a content heart and happiness in this world. That the blessings you are given, you attribute them to Allah and you show your gratitude and thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. Many of the people are ignorant and neglect that. The many number of blessings that come upon them, yet they are ignorant and neglect the fact that these are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are weak in their worship, they are weak when it comes to dua and supplication, they are weak to seeking forgiveness from Allah, they are weak in all of these affairs. But a person who thinks about the blessings that are being bestowed to him, then he will be a person whose heart is connected to Allah in dua, in seeking forgiveness, in obedience. So the first of the affairs is to thank Allah for the blessings you've been given. Not to be like those who reject the blessings of Allah, or they refuse or ignore to attribute those blessings to Allah. One of the famous narrations about that, to prove that or to show that particular point, is the hadith regarding the three men who the angel was sent to. One of them was blind, one of them was a leper, and one of them had a bald head, a hair problem. So when the angel was sent to the first one, the leper, the one who had the issue with his skin, a skin condition, and so they were tested. In the hadith it mentions that Allah tested these people, tested them. So the first one, the leper, with the leprosy, the angel went to him and said to him, what is the most beloved thing to you? مَا أَحَبُّ شَيْءٍ إِلَيْكَ. What is the most beloved thing to you? He said that I should have jildun hasanun, that I should have beautiful skin, because he had the skin disease, leprosy. So he said, the most beloved affair to me is to have the beautiful skin. Then the angel also asked him, what is the most precious wealth that you desire? And so it's mentioned that he requested camels, so he was given camels. The second person, the angel went to him, the one with the hair problem, the condition on his head, so he was bald, etc. The angel said to him, what is the most desirable thing to you? And he said that I should have the beautiful hair and the problem on my head should go. So again the angel, by the permission of Allah, bestowed him that, wiped upon him and his head was cured and he had beautiful hair, beautiful skin. And then after that the angel said, what is the best wealth you want? And it's mentioned cows that he took, and he was given a pregnant cow. Then the third person, the blind individual, the angel went to him and said, what is the most beloved to you? And he said that Allah should return my eyesight to me. Notice the first two people, the leper with the skin condition, when the angel had said to him, what is the most beloved thing to you? He said that I should have beautiful skin. The second person with the hair problem, he said I should have beautiful hair. The third person, the blind one, didn't say that I should have extra strong eyesight or perfect eyesight. He said, I just require that my eyesight, some eyesight is returned to me. So he was humble in his request even. And then the angel said, what do you desire from the wealth? And he had sheep. So then later on it's mentioned in the narration, the angel came back to these three people after a while. The first one had the camel had given birth, etc. He had a valley full of camels now. The second one had a valley full of cows now. The third one had a valley full of sheep. So when the angel came to the first one, and this first one now had beautiful skin, the leprosy and the skin disease had gone, and he had a valley full of camels, rich. So the angel said to him, he came in the form of a man, looking like what the leper used to look like before. And he came to him in that form, and he said to the man that I am on a journey, and I've lost my riding animal, I have nothing. Allow me to take one camel. By Allah, the one who bestowed you with such beautiful skin and all of this wealth of camels, give me one so I can use it to get along on my journey and get home. So the man, he said to him, Al-huquq kathira. He said, the rights upon me are so many. The rights upon me are so many. How can I give you one of these camels? He refused. He said, these camels, they were inherited. I inherited these camels from my forefathers. And I have many rights upon them and the various other rights upon me with regards to these camels. I can't just hand over one camel to you. He refused. So then the angel said to him, do I not recognize you? Are you not the man who used to be the leper? And then Allah cured you and gave you all of this wealth of camels. If you're lying to me now by saying that this is actually what you've inherited and inherited, then may Allah return you to how you used to be before. Then the angel goes to the second man, again in the form of a man looking as he used to before. And he says to this individual, by the one, by Allah who has given you this beautiful hair and all of this wealth of cows, etc., allow me one that I can use to go along with my journey, can help me put my things on it, etc. Again the man said, there are too many rights upon me, all of these animals, I inherited them from my forefathers, I can't just hand over one, too many rights upon me. So again the angel said, do I not recognize you? Aren't you the man who used to have all of the condition upon the head, the skin, the hair, loss, and then Allah returned that to you and gave you all of this wealth? If you're lying to me, then may Allah return you to how you used to be. Then the angel goes to the third individual, the one who used to be blind and can now see. And this angel says the same to him, that I'm on the journey, can I take one of these animals from all of this wealth Allah has bestowed you with? And this man says, that indeed, Allah bestowed all of this wealth upon me. Eyesight was returned by Allah and He gave me all of this wealth. So you are free to take whatever you want. I will not stop you. You are free to take whatever you please. So then the angel said to him, سَخِطَ اللَّهُ عَنْ صَاحِبَيْكَ وَرَضِيَ بِكَ. That Allah is displeased with your two companions, the leper and the bald head individual. They had refused to accept that this was all blessing from Allah upon them. And they began to make excuses and become greedy with it, that this is all of my own possession, this is my inheritance I got. I have too many rights, I can't hand over one of the animals. Yet this third individual, he accepts fully that this is the blessing of Allah upon me. And he says to him, take whatever you want, Allah gave it to me all. Blessing from Allah, as you please take it, I will not prevent you from anything. So then the angel said, Allah is pleased with you, but Allah is not pleased with the other two. So this is an example the scholars they use to highlight how a person must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that you've been given, and not to reject them or to consider it's your own experience or skill that has brought you those blessings. It is not your expertise and your professionalism and your skills that have built up your business and now you are wealthy. All of that is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. So the first characteristic of an individual who desires happiness and a peaceful heart in this world is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon you. And like we said, one of the means of doing that is to use the blessings in obedience to Allah. As for the one who uses these blessings to disobey Allah, then that is a sign that you are not thanking Allah for them. So the one who is given wealth, if he uses that in haram, uses the money that he's been given, all of the wealth that Allah has bestowed upon him, uses it to gamble, uses it to buy haram, to do haram investments, haram business, then that individual has not thanked Allah for that blessing. And particularly with wealth, then it's mentioned in the narration that on the Day of Judgment, you won't just be asked about where you got your money from, where you got your wealth from. But the second question alongside that will be, where you got your wealth from? Was it from halal means? And secondly, where did you spend your wealth in? Did you spend it in halal means? So did you acquire it in halal means? And also the second question, did you spend it in halal means? So all of this indicating that a person who desires the happiness, the first characteristic is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon you. The second characteristic that a Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala mentions, وَإِذَا بْتُلِيَ صَبَرْ, the one who desires peace and contentment and satisfaction and tranquility and serenity in this world, then the second characteristic that is required is that when you are tested, when you are trialed, then be patient. The one who receives tests and trials from Allah, then he remains patient upon those tests and trials. Because as Al-Shaykh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhahullah, says, يُبْتَلَى الْعِبَادِ, يَبْتَلِي الْعِبَادِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests His servants. Allah tests His servants. يَبْتَلِيهِمْ بِالْمَصَائِبِ, Allah will test the people with calamities, with difficulties, with hardships in this world. يَبْتَلِيهِمْ بِالْمَكَارِهِ, Allah will test them with affairs that are detestable to you, things which you do not want to occur to you, hardships and difficulties that you don't want, things that you hate should occur to you, but they may occur as a test and a trial. يَبْتَلِيهِمْ بِالْأَعْدَى مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ, Allah may test you via the enemies from the disbelievers, the munafiqeen. You may be tested by the enemies. فَيَحْتَاجُونَ إِلَى الصَّبْرِ, so the people, they require patience. All of these tests and these trials, they certainly occur to a person upon this earth. Therefore, the person requires to be patient during the times of those tests. Allah mentioned in the Quran, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, Allah is the one who created death and life to test you. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ, to test you. أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, who from amongst you will be the best in actions. So surely this life, within it is test, within it is trial, testing the people to see whom will show and demonstrate the best of the behavior, the best of the obedience and the actions during those times of tests and trials. So the people, they require patience, as Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentions. وَعَدَمُ الْيَأْسِ وَعَدَمُ الْقُنُوطِ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, and they require not to become despondent and depressed and thinking that there is no mercy, there is no chance of exiting from this difficulty which may have occurred, or there is no possibility of getting out of this hardship that they've fallen into. That a person does not become that way. You do not become depressed. You do not become despondent from the mercy of Allah, losing hope in the mercy of Allah. That is not correct. Even if it be that you have found yourself in a difficult situation due to your own sins, even the sins that you commit, whatever those sins may be, then a person, if he truly repents to Allah sincerely, then that is acceptable and Allah will forgive that person. قُلْ لِعِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, Allah said in the Quran, say to my servants who have wronged themselves, say to my servants who have wronged themselves, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah is the one who forgives. He forgives all of the sins. So seek the forgiveness from Allah. Similarly, in the ahadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, كل بني آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون, all of the sons of Adam, they make error, but the best of those who fall into error are the ones who repent. And similarly, in the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, كلكم تخطئون بالليل والنهار وأنا أغفر الذنوب جميعا فاستغفروني أغفر لكم, all of you make sin and error, mistakes, day and night. And I am the one who forgives. So seek your forgiveness from me and I will forgive. So a person does not become depressed. A person does not become despondent, losing hope in the times of difficulty, in the times of hardship, in the times of yourself falling into error and sin. But rather a person in the times of difficulty and hardship remains patient, and in the times of your own sinning returns to Allah, repents, and seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَثْبُتُونَ عَلَى دِينِهِمْ And they remain firm. You remain firm upon your religion. وَلَا يَتَزَحْزَحُونَ مَعَ الْفِتَنِ And you don't shake in the times of trials and tribulations. You don't become wavering around and shaking around and collapsing and depressed, everything despondent, all hope lost in the times of these difficulties. Rather, you remain patient. أَوْ يَسْتَسْلِمُونَ لِلْفِتَنِ Do not give in to the trials and the tribulations that occur, the difficulties that may overcome you, then do not submit to them and give in to them. بَلْ يَثْبُتُونَ عَلَى دِينِهِمْ Rather, as Shaykh Al-Fawzan says, the believers, they remain firm upon their religion in these times of difficulties. وَيَصْبِرُونَ عَلَى مَا يُقَاسُونَ مِنَ الْأَتْعَابِ فِي سَبِيلِهَا And they remain patient upon what they may come across from the difficulties in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience to Allah, in the worship to Allah. They remain patient upon these affairs. And that is why the scholars, they mention patience is three types. The patience that a person requires to be upon is three types. The first of those types, as-sabru ala ta'atillah. To be patient upon obedience to Allah. Worshipping Allah, obeying Allah requires patience. It requires patience and perseverance for a person to wake up at the morning to pray Fajr, for a person to go and perform the Hajj, for a person to perform the various acts of worship requires patience from that individual, because the very word patience, sabr, sabr in the Arabic language, it means al-habs, habsun nafs, that you control yourself. That's the actual meaning of the word patience, to control yourself, to restrict yourself, to keep yourself gripped, to keep a hold of yourself. That is the meaning, the root of the word patience. So here, that keeping a control of yourself is required when it comes to the worship of Allah, so that you persist upon the worship of Allah. As it is mentioned about Ibrahim alayhi salam, one of his characteristics was, كَانَ قَانِتًا لِلَّهِ That he was perseverant, continuous upon the worship of Allah. So the first type of patience required is to be patient upon the obedience to Allah. Obedience, no doubt, it requires effort. So a person keeps himself focused and perseveres upon obedience. The second type of patience that is required, as-sabru an maharimillah. Patience to keep yourself away from the haram. Patience to such a degree, to a level, that you protect yourself from the haram. You control yourself and you restrict yourself away from the haram. That is the second level of patience, or second type of patience that is required, to control yourself and to keep yourself patient, and not to fall into the whispers of performing the evil and the sinning. The third type of patience that is required, as-sabru ala aqdarillahi al-mu'lima. Patience upon the decree of Allah, which may be difficult. Difficulties that come to you in the decree of Allah. Some hardship may overcome you, some burden may overcome you, some difficulty in your situation may occur. Your wealth may be stolen from you. Your possessions may be taken from you. Your health may be taken from you. You fall ill into some severe illness for a lengthy time. That's a test, it's a trial. It is something difficult occurring to you in the decree of Allah. Maybe somebody from your family members is overcome with some difficulty, some illness. That is a test and a trial upon you. Scholars typically mention with these trials, in your wealth, in your health, and in your families. These are from the greatest of the types of trials that occur to a person. In your wealth, in your own health, or something related to your family. So in these times, then a person, he needs to remain patient upon the decree of Allah. Knowing that all of this is decreed by Allah, it is a test, it is a trial, and what is required is patience and dua and supplication, and not to become depressed and despondent. For indeed, if we see now what these narrations tell us about these difficulties that may overcome a person, it is mentioned in one hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a people, He tries them and tests them. If Allah loves a people, then Allah tests and trials them. فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى وَمَنْ سَخِطَ فَعَلَيْهِ سَخَطَ. Then whomsoever from amongst those people, when he is tested and tried, he is content with that. He knows these tests and trials, they are from the decree of Allah, so he remains patient, he persists upon his worship, he continues with his dua, then that person, it's mentioned, فَلَهُ الرِّضَى. Then for that person is the contentment or the goodness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. But as for the person in those times of difficulty, man sakhita, who becomes in an ill type of state, and agitated and loses his patience, then that type of person, that's the end result for him. That is the way that his affairs and his situation will end up. So here it's mentioned, if Allah loves a people, He tests them with the trials and the tribulations. And those who are patient in that time, for them is the raising of the rank. And those who are not patient in those trials and tribulations, for them is the degradation and the lowering. Similarly, it's mentioned in another hadith, and this will be a good reminder for those who are tested and tried with difficulties. أَعْظَمُ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءِ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلِ فَالْأَمْثَلِ. The most tested and tried of the people, the ones who faced the greatest degree of tests and trials and difficulties and hardship, they were, as the hadith says, the prophets themselves. The prophets and the messengers were the ones who faced the greatest trials and tribulations from their people when they gave them da'wah. We already studied previously the stories in brief of Nuh alayhi salam and how they were mocking him when he was building the ark, and how his own son refused to board and he was drowned in the waters. We saw regarding Musa alayhi salam, we saw how the Pharaoh chased him and his people, excluded them, expelled them from that land, until they were finally saved beyond the ocean. We saw regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam, how his people took him. They built a fire and they threw him into the fire. How many of the people have experienced that from the difficulties and trials that they perceive for themselves? Those who perceive that my difficulty is greater than anybody else, then what difficulty of theirs is comparable to being thrown into a fire? So the prophets and messengers, the hadith says, they were the greatest trials and tribulations were upon them. Then the hadith says, ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلْ فَالْأَمْثَلْ. Those people who are clinging on to the methodology of the prophets and messengers, sticking to the religion in that proper way, they will be tested and tried a lot in that pathway of sticking to the religion. Those who are closest to the prophets and messengers in that practice of the religion, then certainly they will be tested and tried in that way too. So as Shaykh Al-Fawzani says, Ubtuliya Rusul, the messengers were tested. Wabtuliya Siddiqoon, the truthful ones, they were tested. وَبْتُلِيَ شُهَدَى, the martyrs were tested. وَبْتُلِيَ عِبَادُ اللَّهِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and the servants of Allah, the believers, were tested. لَكِنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا, but they were all patient. أَمَّا الْمُنَافِقْ, as for the hypocrites, فَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about them, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. There are some people who worship Allah on the extremities. They worship Allah in a manner which is not wholeheartedly. They do not worship Allah in reality. They worship Allah on the edge. Meaning, in as the Quran says, فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اِطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. There are these hypocrites who worship Allah on the edge. Meaning, when some goodness happens to them, then they're happy about it. They are peaceful and content and happy with the goodness, and they proclaim to be upon the obedience of Allah and worship. But as soon as وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٍ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. But as soon as some difficulty occurs to those types of people, they flip completely and they turn completely to the other way. As soon as any difficulty occurs to them, it's as if they turn their back upon the religion. They lose all hope and there is nothing left because they are upon hypocrisy mentioned in the tafsir of those people. So then the Shaykh Al-Fawzan says, فَالدُّنْيَا لَيْسَتْ دَائِمًا نَعِيمًا وَتَرَفًا وَمَلَذَّاتْ وَصُرُورًا وَنَصْرًا. This world is not always going to be blessings and luxury and relaxation and happiness. This world isn't always like that. Your life isn't going to be completely from the beginning to the end, every day of it, filled with happiness and blessings and joy and luxury. It isn't like that. The Shaykh says, لَيْسَتْ دَائِمًا هَكَذَا. It is not like this all the time. اللَّهُ يُدَاوِلُ بَيْنَ الْعِبَادِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alternates the days between the people. So a person has times in his life he may feel the blessings and the joys of the various situations and circumstances he's in. But there may be other days to come in his life where he feels that the burden of the difficulties and hardships, the situation that he finds himself at that particular time. And Allah mentions in the Quran, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. They are the days that we alternate between the people. They are the days that we alternate between the people. That's why Al-Shaykh Al-Fawzan then says, فَلْيُوَطِّنِ الْعَبْدُ نَفْسَهُ. A person should therefore habitualize himself, accustom himself, أَنَّهُ إِذَا بْتُولِيَ, that if you are tested, if you are tried, فَإِنَّ هَذَا لَيْسَ خَاصًا بِهِ, then you realize and you recognize that this isn't something specific to you. If you're being tested, you're being tried, some difficulty, then you recognize and you know this isn't just you, something specific to you, as if your difficulty is the biggest and the greatest anybody has ever faced. فَهَذَا سَبَقَ لِأَوْلِيَاءِ اللَّهِ. Shaykh Al-Fawzan says, these difficulties, they have already occurred to the awliya of Allah, the righteous. يُوَطِّنُ نَفْسَهُ وَيَصْبِرُ وَيَنْتَظِرُ الْفَرْجِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. You have an understanding of this affair, you make your soul accustomed to this affair, that this is the decree of Allah, these are the days that come and they go, and you are patient and you wait for the escape to come from Allah, for the way out to come from Allah, from this difficulty that you find yourself in. The third and final characteristic that we'll mention. The third and final characteristic that we'll mention today, for the one desiring the happiness of this world and the hereafter. The first was, if you are given blessings, thank Allah for them. The second was, when you are tested and tried, then remain patient upon those times. The third one now is, وَإِذَا أَذْنَبَ اسْتَغْفَرَ. When you make error and sin, then seek forgiveness. Be hasty to return to Allah and repent and seek forgiveness for the sins and the errors that you make. And that is a means to happiness in this world and in the hereafter. As Shaykh Al-Fawzan says, أَمَّا الَّذِي إِذَا أَذْنَبَ لَا يَسْتَغْفِرُ وَيَسْتَزِيدُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ فَهَذَا شَقِيٌّ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. The Shaykh says, as for a person who commits sins, And he never seeks forgiveness. He doesn't seek forgiveness for them. Continues upon his wrongdoing and sin. Then that type of person only increases in his wrongdoing and sin. He sins and he never seeks forgiveness, doesn't care. He's only going to end up increasing in his sinning and his wrongdoing. And that type of person is shaqi. He is the wretched type of person. The wretched type of person. The one who finds a hollowness in his heart. Doesn't find the peace and the serenity in his heart. He's a sinful individual who does not seek forgiveness. And he persists upon his sinning and his evil. لكن العبد المؤمن كلما صدر منه ذنب بادر بالتوبة. As for the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believer, whenever a sin occurs from him, and no doubt the sins they occur, whenever a sin occurs, then he is hasty to seek forgiveness. He desires to be forgiven. As Allah mentioned, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنْفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That those who commit the lewd, incorrect, false acts, or they oppress themselves, they do the wrong, then what do? ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ. They remember Allah. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ. And they seek forgiveness for their sins. Then Allah says, وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And who will forgive the sins except Allah? So the one who desires to be upon a content heart, peace in his heart, then the sins when they are committed, the wrongdoing when it is committed, then the sign of happiness is that this person, he returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the forgiveness from Allah, seeking tawbah, to make tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repenting for the sin that is done. And indeed, as the narration it says, At-tawbatu tajubbu ma qablaha. Repenting, a person who sincerely repents, then it wipes out the sin that came before it. The one who sincerely repents from the sin, then that sincere repentance wipes out that sin from that person. So, the sign of happiness for a person, the sign of contentness and peace within the heart of a person, is that when you commit a sin, if you commit a sin, then you are keen and eager to return to Allah and seek forgiveness from that sinning. To use the opportunities of the last third of the night, to use the other opportunities mentioned in the sunnah regarding the times of the dua being accepted. Those times should be utilized. Those times a person should be keen to seek forgiveness. It's mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to seek forgiveness. In some narrations, over 70 times a day, over 100 times a day. These figures, as some of the scholars, they say, not to indicate the particular amount, that it was particularly exactly 70 or particularly exactly 100, but these types of figures are used in the Arabic language on occasion to indicate many. So when it says the Prophet ﷺ used to seek forgiveness 100 times a day or 70 times a day, then some of the scholars, they say, this is just the highlight that he used to seek forgiveness many times a day. Like you say in English, I've told you this 1,000 times. Does not mean that you have said it exactly 1,000 times. It means you've said it many, many times to the person. I've told you this over and over again. The phrase used, I've told you 1,000 times. The same in Arabic, they say sometimes 100 or 70. So in those narrations, it mentions the Prophet ﷺ used to seek forgiveness 70 times a day, 100 times a day, all indicating that he used to seek forgiveness again and again, multiple times during the day. And all of the worship the Prophet ﷺ used to do, to the extent that it was said to him, that all of your sins have been forgiven. Your past sin, your future sins, they've been forgiven. So why all this worship and obedience to this level? So then the Prophet ﷺ said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a grateful servant to Allah? Should I not be a grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this was the way of the Prophet ﷺ. So that is four main points that we've mentioned today. The first of those was the one who desires happiness, serenity, tranquility, peace in their hearts in this world. Then it is the person who is upon iman and righteous actions. Iman and righteous actions. Then from the three characteristics mentioned, that a person, if he is given blessings, he thanks Allah for those blessings. Then if a person is tested or tried with difficulties or hardships, he remains patient at those times. And not to lose the hope or to become in a behavior or a manner which is from the times of Jahiliyyah. It's mentioned in one hadith regarding when somebody dies. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ ضَرَبَ الْخُدُودَ وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبَ وَدَعَى بِدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ Not from amongst us is the one who beats himself, hits his cheeks, and tears his pockets, and screams and shouts the way they used to in the times of Jahiliyyah, meaning when somebody dies. That is what they used to do. Scream and tear their clothes and hit themselves. This is how they used to behave when somebody died. That behavior, due to having no patience upon the decree of Allah, that they would scream and shout and beat themselves and tear their clothes. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who behaves in that way is not from us. Meaning they are major sins. This isn't just something of option. This is something mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah to be patient. And the one who is not in those certain types of circumstances, you are actually sinning. If you behave in that manner which is going beyond the bounds. So being patient upon the decree of Allah. And the third characteristic, that when a person sins or makes error, that he returns to Allah and seeks forgiveness for that sin and that error. And these are some of the ways and means that a person achieves contentment, happiness, serenity, peace in his heart during this life, and also thereafter from his iman and righteous actions, the happiness of the hereafter also. I will conclude upon the ayah where Allah said, يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ That Allah will keep them firm. The ones who believe, the ones who are upon iman, Allah will keep them firm in this world. Meaning firm upon the upright way. Far from misguidance and shirk and bid'ah. Firm upon the upright way. And He will keep them firm in the hereafter also. In the trial of the grave when the angels they ask, then the person will be kept upright to answer in the correct manner. So these are the brief characteristics that we'll mention today in this lecture regarding some of the characteristics of happiness in this world and the hereafter. And that's where we'll conclude for today. And we'll continue next week, insha'Allah ta'ala. Make sure you follow the Twitter for the updates on the time. Timings may change from next week or the week after. So follow that for the new timings. And we'll carry on from next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدُ عَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ